So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text Number 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shamaha Priya Shurit Brahman. Bhutanam Bhagavan Shayam. Indrayarati Katam Daityam. Havadhidvishamojatam Sri Rajuvacha Shamapriya Shurit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Shrayam Indraya Sarthi Katam Daitan Havadhidvishamojatam Sri Raju Vacha Shama Priya Shurit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Shayam Indriya Sharti Katam Daityam Abadhi Vishamo Jatha Sri Raja Vacha Shama Priya Shurit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Shayam Indra Sarti Katam Hityam Abhati Vishamo Jata Sri Raja Vacha Brahma Priya Surit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indra Sartika Tam Daitam Aditi Samoyata Uvacha Surit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte Katam Tejam Abhidvishamojata. The messages? Priya Surit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indra Satika Samdehityam Abhati Vishamo Jatam Sri Raja Uvacha Surit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrayati Samdehityam Abhati Vishamojata Sri Raju Vacha Sarpriya Surit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indra Satika Tam Deityam Abhati Vishamojata Sri Raju Vacha, Maharaj Parikshit said, Samaha, equal, Priya, beloved, Surit, friend, Brahman, O Brahmana, Sukadeva, Bhutanam, towards all living entities, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Swayam, Himself, Indrasya, of Indra, Arte, for the benefit, Katam, how, Daityan, the demons, Avadhit, killed, Vishama, partial, and Jata, as if. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How, then, did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" Please repeat. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, "Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesya asti na priyaha." I am equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor anyone is my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been seen and observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hataputra diti shakra parashni grahina vishnunya. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra. Although he is a super soul in everyone's heart, the soul is extremely dear to everyone. And similarly, the super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty accusation on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet, he took the side of Indra, just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone. But when he saw that Krishna acted as the enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Shukadeva Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from Shukadeva Goswami, the authority. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, "Samasya katam vaishamyam." Since the Lord is equally disposed toward everyone, how can he be partial? "Priyasya katam ashureshu priti abhava." The Lord, being the super soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior towards the asuras? How is this impartial? Shuridash cha katam tveshu ashurhadam. Since the Lord says that he is shuridam sarvabhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Shukadeva Goswami. Om Agyanti Mitanda Shri Janan Janan Shalakai Takshura Miritan Jina Tashmai Shri Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. So starting the new canto, seventh canto, which finished with Indra's killing of the demons. And so this question is being posed: how can Krishna, who is Samadarshana, he's equal to everyone, how he can side with his friend against the demons, side with the demigods, if he is equal? So, is the Lord partial or not? This is what's under discussion, the Lord's partiality. just look at the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're discussing the Lord and his pastimes and his different characteristics and his likes and dislikes. So, so what other scripture is giving this information? They don't even know what God is for sure. There is some vague idea, some vague conception of what may be God. But here, they come nowhere near close to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're talking about, you know, God's mood, his feelings, and partiality, impartiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have all this information, what God looks like, what his activities are, what pleases him, what displeases him. So, here it said they're saying, no, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, he's everyone's well-wisher. He's equal to everyone. He's extremely dear to everyone. Three or four times Prabhupada's pointing out how dear the Lord is to the devotees, the super soul is dear to everyone. So, Sukadeva Goswami describes after the Brahma Vimoha Leela, when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the boys, and then one day when they were herding, the cows come running down the hill to see the baby calves, and out of parental affection, who were all Krishna, and started to give them milk, even though they didn't drink milk. They were old enough not to drink milk. And then the elderly cowherd men who were herding, they saw their boys and children looking after the calves. They also run down and became very affectionate. And so Balaram was saying, how is it possible that they're showing more affectionate to these calves and cows, you know, like they show to you, Krishna? So how is it? Why is that? There's such a sudden display of affection. So Sukadeva Goswami explains that, he said, first of all, everyone, he loves himself best of all. If there's someone starts shouting, fire, fire, you know, and you're in a building, the first thing, quick as you can, you get out. Then afterwards you may think, well, you know, oh yeah, maybe someone else was here. I should have left my family in there. I should have go back and helped them. But the first reaction is myself. So everyone is self-centered, they love themselves and and their bodies, and they love others also. But why do they love others? Because they bring me pleasure. That's why I like others. So I'm always thinking of myself. So why is the body is pleasing? Why others are pleasing? He says, because it's the presence of the spirit soul in the body. Because when the soul leaves the body is not pleasing anymore. Nobody wants to be around very long. They burn it very quickly. So it's the soul that is pleasing and attractive. So then Sukadeva says, so when one is more advanced, then he understands why the soul is so attractive and pleasing. It's because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. Without being an expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive. So Krishna is that all-attractive center. And so therefore Krishna comes and reveals himself. He comes to show these pastimes of himself. He assumes different incarnations, and he comes and performs these different pastimes. Why? So, to put an end to speculation. There is no God. God is this, God is that, God is dead, God is impersonal. So many speculations about it. So Krishna comes to put the end to speculation. Here you don't have to speculate, and here I am. See my beautiful Trivangi, my threefold bending form. Keshav, you see my beautiful hair. I'm Pitamba, you see my beautiful, I'm wearing the yellow dhoti. So you don't have to speculate anymore. Here I am, I'm telling you I'm God, and I'm showing I'm God, and I'm showing my activities. Here is my Vrindavan, here is my Govardhan, here is my Chamuna, here is my Radha, here is my boyfriends. So Krishna's showing, he puts an end to speculation by revealing his eternal pastimes. So, so all these attractive pastimes of Krishna, then we can actually take shelter of Krishna. So. So why is Krishna powerful? This is the question here. Prabhupada points out in the Bhagavad Gita, as quoted 9:29, that a very charitably disposed man, he is very generous, he gives in charity to anyone without discrimination. He gives to all the children, but he has his own children, and he's very much more inclined to his own children. So he said that's natural, that's not unnatural. He's charitable to everyone, but naturally he gives special attention to his own children. That is the natural way of life. So Krishna, he's naturally. He's naturally attractive, and we can't accuse Krishna of being partial here. So, another Baladev Vidibhushan in his translation to that in Bhagavad Gita to that verse, he's saying that you're saying you come to liberate your devotees and you bring them to you, but you don't bring the non-devotees. So this is your claim. You bring your devotees to you, but non-devotees. So that really seems like you're being partial. You're like acting like an ordinary person who's living in this world of like and dislike, your preference and repulsion. Raja Dvesha, these ordinary persons, that they live in this world of friends and enemies. And so you seem like one of these people. You seem to have your friendship with Indra is greater than, and you seem to be an enemy to the demigods. So it looks like you're partial. So in the 16th canto, chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is saying that those who are envious of my devotees, the demoniacs, I cast them into demoniac species of life perpetually, and they never attain me. So here it seems again he's partial. So Arjuna says that you're known as such a sankalpa that whatever you desire becomes manifest. So why don't you make these envious people qualified? Even though they're unqualified, you can do it because all of your desires will automatically become fulfilled. But simply by your desire, you can make all these unqualified people qualified. Krishna says, I can do that. I can interfere with the minute independence of the living entity. I have that power and prerogative. But why should I? I don't even have the seed of desire to do anything good for these people. Why? Because they have they don't even have a seed of desire to serve me. They're always inimical to me, to mingle with my devotees. They have no desire to serve me. Why I should show them any special favor? But in fact, I cast them perpetually. Yes, perpetually you go in demoniac species of life. This means eventually cats, dogs and things like that. So, so in this verse, as Prabhupada quoted here, 9:29. Yeah, I envy no one. Nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service to me in devotion is a friend in me, and I am also a friend in him. So, so here Krishna again he's saying I'm not partial. I envy no one, my partial to any, I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service to me in devotion is a friend in me, and I'm also a friend in him. So equal to all, he's equal to all, that's a fact. But he's equal to all. He's equal to everyone, but he's equal to everyone in the world of karma. But in the world of bhakti, there's a special interaction in prem, in love with Krishna, between the devotee and Krishna. That's something special, that's something different. So when Krishna is using this, the translation is tu means but or however. Yes, I envy no one, I'm partial to everyone. I'm equal to all. That's okay. Then he says, but, I especially like my devotees. So, And they enter into a loving relationship with Krishna. So this is a different, something different. It's a different world, actually. As Prabhupada says here. the devotees exist in Krishna, and Krishna exists in the devotee. The devotees exist in Krishna. Where does Krishna exist? He exists in the spiritual world. So if you're existing in Krishna, you're existing in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada says here in the purport, Krishna is like a cloud. He pours rain all over, regardless whether it falls on rock, land or water. But for his devotees, he gives special attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They're always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they're always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness means, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord very distinctly says, Mayiti, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This is also explained in the words, Yechata mam prapadyanti, tamstateva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders to me proportionately, I take care of him. So, this two things happening here. There's the world of karma that Krishna's talking about. Then there's another world. There's a world of bhakti, which has nothing to do with his world. And this is where Krishna's intention to take us into this transcendental world. But we have to awaken to it. It's called the Great Awakening. Something else is going on here. So the idea is that we're awakened to this spiritual vibration, not only vibration, but spiritual activities and spiritual personalities and spiritual relationships. And that's also going on in this world. And this is what the Prabhupada said, this is what Krishna consciousness means, to be actually absorbed in this, this Krishna consciousness, the superior consciousness. In the last canto, at the end of the last canto we were just reading, sixth canto, it mentioned there in one of the verses, the translation, how the devotee is completely transcendental by absorbing himself in service. And he's completely spiritualized, and he gets a spiritual body also. Something like Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that Brahman becomes the offering, Brahman becomes the whoever it's offered, whatever it is offered to, becomes Brahman. Whoever offers it becomes Brahman. That verse in Bhagavad Gita. So everything becomes Brahman. That's the idea there. By being absorbed in Krishna and Krishna's name, quality pastimes, etc., his service, then that's all the nature of Brahman. So therefore one is transcendentally situated. He's not situated actually in the laws of karma in this material world, even though he's living in this world. But he is not affected by the laws of karma, which enacted by the three modes of material nature. He's aloof from the activities of the material nature. So therefore he has a spiritual body. We may not see that we've got a spiritual body, but Prabhupada explains. He says, yes, you have it. When you're completely absorbed in service to Krishna, with your activities and consciousness also, in a mood of serving, pleasing Krishna, at that time you are immersed in transcendence. And he said, then this, the spiritual body is acting. And Prabhupada says, what is that spiritual body? The spiritual body is, because you're in Krishna consciousness, and we're part and parcel of Krishna, and we have the same consciousness. Because we have that consciousness, that is pervading throughout this body, Prabhupada said, then this is your spiritual body. It fills this, your consciousness fills this external body. He says, so that's the shape of the spiritual body. It may not be the eternal shape, but right now you've got this. He said you adopt the spiritual body because you're full of Krishna conscious, the conscious. Just like the glove, you put your hand in the glove, it completely fills the glove. So the consciousness in this body, so the spiritual body actually takes the shape of your body you have right now, when you're completely absorbed in service to Krishna. So like this, everything becomes completely transcendental and above all the modes of material nature. So this is where, you know, Krishna's inviting us to come to this platform. And then Prabhupada says also in the same purport, this is 9:29. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered under the laws of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It's part of the spiritual world where eternity, bliss and knowledge predominate. So this is the situation, the transcendental situation, in which the Lord and his devotees function. So that is also going on. Its spiritual nature is here, so Krishna is revealing his services, things like that. Why? So we can we can come to this point of actually transcending the modes of material nature and enter into the spiritual nature. So it's kind of a wake-up call Krishna is giving. That Krishna is giving us, this is Krishna consciousness, and this is who you are. You're a part of this, you belong to this. You don't actually belong to that other world, which we call the material world. This is what the world you belong to with me and engaged in devotional service. So Krishna is here, the spiritual nature is here, bhakti is here. But where are we? There's something missing. There's a missing ingredient. That is me and you. Everything else is there. The Lord is there. The atmosphere is there. The bhakti is there. So there's a missing ingredient. That is me. I got this idea from the Coca-Cola. World of Coca-Cola when I went to America. You have to go to the Coca-Cola, World of Coca-Cola, right? Otherwise they won't believe you'd been to America, right? So, anyway, the devotees took me there, because I think Jai Pratap Maharaj also went there. And he said the same thing, that they show a big film, a big IMAX thing, it's a, you know, completely wacky film, but they're showing, you know, they're trying to make that, what is that missing, that ingredient in Coke that nobody can get that. Nobody can imitate Coca-Cola. It's only some little thing you put in there, some spice or something, but nobody can do it. So the film was, you know, what is that missing? What is that? The missing ingredient. And then they're going through all these experiments and things like that. Then finally, the conclusion is, no, we've got it. We've got it. We know what the missing ingredient is. You know what the missing ingredient is? It's you. Because without you, what is the use of Coke? You're the drinker. You're going to relish it. You're going to taste it. So without you, without that, without you, there's a missing ingredient. So similarly, Krishna is there, bhakti is there, the spiritual atmosphere, the service is there. But without you, it's a missing ingredient. So that is our position. So Krishna is coming in all of his different incarnations. He's giving this information, you know, of our actual nature and where the actual nature where we belong. Of course, we need the mercy of Krishna, which comes through the mercy of Guru. He's the representative of Krishna. So somehow now that we have to beseech the mercy of Guru, just like you want to make an application for a new visa, you have to go to the local office, Krishna Nagar. You can't go to the central government, although they issue the visa. You can't go. They deal with the local people. So if you go to the local Krishna Nagar with your application, then that goes to the central, and then the mercy, the application, the denial or refusal comes back. So like that, Guru is like that, he's a representative of Krishna. So we can approach Guru, we can get instruction from Guru, we can follow in his footsteps. And then by his recommendation, then Krishna's mercy will come through Guru and enlighten us. So, so this is what we're dealing with. It's actually two worlds. There's two things happening here. One is the material world and for the karmas, and then there's the whole transcendental world. It's simultaneously is going on with devotees who are not affected by it because they're absorbed in Krishna. This is an example of the spider. How the spider he makes his web. And all the little flies and insects and mosquitoes, they get stuck on that web. But when the spider comes, he runs freely over the web. He doesn't get stuck. As soon as the fly there, he runs and he ties him up. He runs back again. Everyone gets bound up in the web, but the spider himself doesn't. So Krishna himself, when he comes to the material world, he doesn't get bound like everyone else. Because everyone else has desires to be fulfilled. But Krishna has no desire. So therefore he's not bound. We are bound by our desire. But if we understand that Krishna, he is not bound by this material because he doesn't have any desire for this material. If you know this about Krishna, how Krishna is free when he comes here, he's not bound. If you know this secret, because he doesn't aspire for the fruits of his action. Krishna says, you also become as free as me. You can become as free as Krishna by understanding this aspect and being the same as Krishna. So, that's okay. The spider is running all over the web. Krishna, he can move freely because he is God. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything. So what's so big about that? He can move freely. Everyone else is getting stuck. He said, but when the spider has babies, they all come out immediately. They run everywhere. They're not stuck. They're not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But like father, like son, they are as spiders like their father. They also don't get trapped on the web. They also run freely. As soon as they're born, they can run around. They don't get trapped either. So, like that. Yeah, so there's a material world and there's a transcendental world existing simultaneously here. And you're in the middle. You're Tathasta Shakti. You're the Tathasta Shakti, the marginal potency. There you make a choice. What do you want? Do you want the world of Maya or you want the world of Krishna? But that is the Tathasta's choice, which we have. And you can make it every moment. It's up to you. Hare Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shambhavita Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Jai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Any comment or question you have? Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a nice class. I wanted to ask you about this Prabhupada. You read a purport and the excerpt read that Krishna's reciprocation with devotees has got nothing to do with karma. I was wondering if you could comment on this concept that once a devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, he's free from karma completely. And some people say that actually it takes time for the karma to disappear. So I was wondering, which one is it? Is it that the moment we take initiation, no more karma? Or is there some karma there that is slowly getting dissipated?
Nice question. At the time of initiation, you actually get a spiritual body. You're getting that connection with Krishna through the spiritual master, through the parampara. At that time, Krishna recognizes you by your name. That new name you get at the time of initiation. But it's mentioned in the, at least in the sixth canto, which is past, maybe the Hamsa Guru prayers or something like that, in one purport. And Prabhupada's talking about, he's quoting Sanatana Goswami from Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it gives the example of how bell metal, when you mix it with some acids, it becomes gold. You can make gold. The process. Yogis can do that. So similarly, by this process of initiation, you get a spiritual body. Just that, like the bell metal has become gold. It's a material thing, but it's become golden. So similarly, you may be a material body, but after the time of initiation, you get the spiritual body. He said you have to accept this fact because this is the statement of the Shastra. He said, but you may not see that suddenly I got another four arms or anything like that. When I got initiated, another two arms didn't pop out. But he said, that you can understand that oh, that's right. He said you may not see how the gross body has changed. You haven't suddenly got the dazzling, youthful, spiritual body. He said, but you can see how the subtle body has changed. Before we came to Krishna consciousness, most of us Westerners, we'd never even heard of Krishna. Never heard of it, whole life practically. I think I was 27 years old when I first heard the name Krishna. So that's how far removed we were till Prabhupada came and gave Krishna. But so, and a little, all of a sudden, you meet devotees, you get initiation, and it's Krishna, 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 Krishna. Not one, for whole life before that, 27 years, not one time said it. All of a sudden, it's Krishna, Krishna. Give up everything else, give up your family, give up everything, change your clothes, perform devotional activities. Everything is changed. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we speak, nothing else. So, yeah, and Prabhupada's commenting that you see how the subtle body has changed. The gross body, you may not see the drastic change, but the subtle body, you can definitely see a change. before you came to Krishna consciousness, drastic change. So he said that in this way, and you get the subtle body changes to Krishna conscious, and what else did he say? That the subtle body changes, you can see how the subtle body has changed, because now it's all Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And yes, and then he says, and of the two bodies, the gross, the two bodies, the gross body and the subtle body is more important of the two, because by the subtle body determines your next body. So when the subtle body becomes transcendental, Krishnaized, spiritualized, then that will determine our next body, which will be in the spiritual realm. So, yes, so at that time, and you get the holy name of Krishna by Guru, so you get Krishna at that time also. What else do you want? You get initiation, then you get Krishna in the form of his holy name, in the seed form. But that's the instruction, the only instruction you get, chant Hare Krishna. You may not get any other instruction for the rest of your life, but you'll get that one, and everybody gets that one without fail. One instruction, chant Hare Krishna, 16 times minimum. So, this chanting Hare Krishna, this one instruction is specifically for your individual self-realization. This is your sadhana that you should very carefully cultivate for your own self-realization, because that's the only thing Guru gave you. And Guru, see the faith of Guru, how much faith Guru has. He's thinking that if he gives me initiation into the holy name, even I can be delivered. That's how great Guru is, and how Krishna conscious he is, and how much faith he has in the holy name. He thinks if he can give it to me, then I can also become Krishna conscious. Look at the faith of the Guru in the holy name. So, spiritual body is described, but the problem is, as soon as we get initiation, we bring everything back again. We start to relate to the body and, you know, oh, I'm initiated, I'm going to write home to my mum and dad and tell them, you know, you're identifying with your mother, Manasseh. You bring everything back. That's the problem. So yes, on one hand you do get a spiritual body immediately, and on the other hand, and Prabhupada gives the example of the fan. You switch the fan off, it means the karma's not acting so... maybe a little bit. But the current is disconnected, but the fan is still moving. But it's not connected into the electric, but it'll take some time before it stops. So because we're conditioned to this karmic world and we're just traveling along on the wheel, then back due to our conditioned nature, then so slowly Krishna consciousness will become more prominent, and the fan will slowly stop and material desires will go, and there'll be a transformation. So then it's considered that process is there also. And something else. Yeah, here is an example, I guess. Madhusavita Prabhu, Italiano, GBC. He asked Srila Prabhupada that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those great souls, they come under the protection of the Devi Prakriti, the divine nature, Yogamaya, Radha, the internal potency. Those great souls, they come under the protection of Yogamaya. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, now we're absorbed in devotional service, so we're under the protection of Yogamaya. because we're engaged fully in devotional service. Prabhupada said, not exactly like that. Again, he repeated the question. Prabhupada said, no. It's not that we're under the protection of the divine energy. He says, you're still your activities and everything are still being performed by the modes of material nature. Even you've surrendered to Krishna, you're rendering devotional service to Krishna, but we still have conditioning. All these activities, they're being conducted by Mahamaya. This is her world, this is our realm, we're still identifying with it. He said, so you're not under the protection of the Devi Prakriti, you're being the function is going on under the dictation of Mahamaya. Mahamaya is acting, functioning according to the dictation of Devi Prakriti or Yogamaya. So we're not actually under the Yogamaya potency, but the Mahamaya potency we're under is acting according to the dictation of Yogamaya. It's the same. So we have to clean our act up a little bit more to make that complete change over. That's the idea. When you're fully Krishna conscious, then you come under the shelter of the Devi Prakriti. Okay?
Just to clarify, if I understood properly, once we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, we're still being controlled by Mahamaya, but this time she's being dictated by Yogamaya.
Yeah.
So we're not directly under Yogamaya, but in one way we are.
Yeah.
But for the non-devotees, it's just Mahamaya. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.